a big reading today, and I'm going to speak on out of Shemot, but also further through. So let us pray. Abba Father, we thank you for the word that you've given. I just pray that it will be received in how you've given it to me, and that you will open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah today. Abba, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, I'm going to speak... Oh, gosh. Go away. Out of Exodus Shemot 33:18-23. You've all heard the saying, if looks could kill, haven't you? Well, today I'm going to turn that around, and I'm going to share with you how looks do kill. It's not if they could kill, but looks do kill. In Shemot Exodus chapter 3:18-23, it says, Moshe said, I beg you to show me your glory. He replied, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you in your presence. I will pronounce the name Yehovah. Moreover, I show favour to whomever I will, and I display mercy to whomever I will. But my face, he continued, you cannot see, because a human being cannot look at me and remain alive. Here, he said, is a place near me on the rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you inside a crevice in the rock, cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face is not to be seen. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, it says, for it is Yehovah who once said, let light shine out of darkness. Who has made his light shine in our hearts? The light of knowledge of Elohim's glory shining in the face of Yeshua HaMashiach. And Matityahu chapter 17 verses 1 to 3. 6 days later, Yeshua took Kepha, Yaakov and his brother Yochanan and led them to a high mountain privately. And as they watched, he began to change form. His face shone like the sun, his clothing became white as light, and they looked and saw Moshe and Eliyahu speaking with him. And in Luke 9:29-31, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, his clothing became gleaming white. Suddenly there were two men talking with him, Moshe and Eliyahu. They appeared in glorious splendor and spoke of his exodus, which he was soon to accomplish in Yerushalayim. We all know that Yeshua dwells in our lives. He lives in us. But I want to turn that around as well. I want to speak on how Yeshua HaMashiach and how we live in him. Very few people have that revelation that they are in Yeshua HaMashiach. I think I've gone too far. Something's happened. Has. Thank you. I'm going to find it. Okay, I think I've missed out something and it's skipped. I read Matthew, his face shone. Then I should have gone to Luke 9:29-31. Didn't go there, did I? Yeah, I did that one. Do I go to Luke 9? I'll do it again. Luke 9:29-31. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothing became gleaming white. Yeah, I read that. Suddenly there were two men talking to him, Moshe and Eliyahu, and they appeared in glorious splendor and spoke of his exodus, which he was soon to accomplish in Yerushalayim. Now, Yochanan 5 and 15 and verse 1 says, and this is where I get that Yeshua that we dwell in Yeshua. From Yochanan John 15, 1 and 5, he says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch which is part of me but fails to bear fruit, he cuts off. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that may bear more fruit. Right now, because of the word which I have spoken to you, you are pruned. Stay united with me as I will with you. For just as the branch can't put forth fruit by itself apart from the vine, so you can't bear fruit apart from me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who stay united with me and I with them are the ones who bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can't do a thing. And the scriptures are brimming with references to us being in Yeshua HaMashiach. Moshe begged Yah to show him his glory, which we read in Shemot Exodus, chapter 33, verse 19. And he replied, I will cause my goodness to pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce the name Yehovah. Moreover, I show favor to whom I will show favor, and display mercy to whom I will show mercy. All of Yah's goodness and his mercy would be there, but Moshe couldn't see it. And Yehovah would cover Moshe with his hand and remove it, only allowing the afterglow to appear to Moshe after Yehovah had passed by. And verse 20 says, But my face, he continued, you cannot see, because a human being cannot look at me and remain alive. So if looks could kill, that's when it would kill, because if we looked at Yehovah, we would die. Shemot 33 and verse 23 further on says, Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face is not to be seen. Yah particularly says his face is not to be seen. Moshe would die if he saw Yah's face. The term seeing in the scripture also is used to speak of understanding truth. We see what Yah is saying when we understand what he is saying. How many of you replied to someone explaining something to you and replied with, oh, I see now, I get it, I see it, okay? But it still all means the same in I understand what you are telling me. And when Yehovah told Moshe he would let Moshe see his back parts, he also told Moshe he would proclaim the name of Yehovah. He would also be gracious to him, and whom he desires to be gracious to, and he would show mercy to whom he desires to show mercy. In fact, when the glory does pass by Moshe, Yehovah not only shines in this tremendous light, but he speaks of himself. If we go to Shemot 34 and verses 5 to 7, which we read in the Torah today, Yehovah descended in the cloud, stood with him there, and pronounced the name of Yehovah. Yehovah passed before Moshe him and proclaimed, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yehovah is Elohim, merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace and truth, showing grace to the thousandth generation, forgiving offences, crimes and sins, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effects of the parents' offences to be experienced by their children and grandchildren, even by the third and fourth generations. I can actually see Yah actually standing there before Moshe with his hand in front of him. And Yah stands and then passes by. But one day Moshe actually gets to see Yehovah face to face. He does it by seeing Yeshua HaMashiach, who is Yehovah in the flesh, which we also read, I also read to you before. We are distinctly told in Matityahu chapter 17 and verse 2 that Yeshua's face shone like the sun. Remember when we read our Torah today, Moshe's face shone so brightly that he had to veil it in front of the people after speaking with Yehovah. He didn't see him, he spoke with him, but his face shone. When Yeshua spoke to Moshe, it was Yeshua's face that shone. In Matthew 17, verse 2 and 3, it says, "As they watched, he," that is Yeshua, "began to change form. His face shone like the sun, and his clothing became as white as light. And they looked and saw Moshe and Eliyahu speaking with him." Not only did Moshe see his face, but he talked with him. And what really blesses me is the following in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, which says, "So if indeed our good news is veiled, it is veiled only to those in the process of being lost. They do not come to trust, because the Elohim of the Olam Hazeh, that is this world, has blinded their minds in order to prevent them from seeing and the light shining from the good news about the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Yehovah." When something is veiled, it is hidden. You cannot see it. But we are talking about something that people can see, and the understanding is being hidden. Here is the idea of seeing is also used to explain understanding. And in verse 4, "The Elohim of the Olam Hazeh," that is the God of this world, "the devil has blinded their minds." He hasn't blinded their eyes. The scripture said it blinded their minds, or their understanding. It is the eyes that are usually blinded. But as much as eyes see, our minds also see. So we read, as much as eyes are blinded, the eyes are blinded, people's minds or understandings are also blinded. And then further on in verse 6, it says in 2 Corinthians, "For it is Yehovah who once said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has made his light shine in our hearts, and the light of knowledge of Yah's glory shining in the face of Yeshua HaMashiach." This is light of knowledge. This is something that most do understand. Light and glory are things that are physically shone before Moshe. But in verse 6 we read the light and glory are referring to knowledge. Knowledge is something you also understand. And this knowledge is in the face of Yeshua HaMashiach. This means that a picture of someone's face shining with a light represents that one being the container of light or all truth. Light shines in our hearts. People say you can see it from their eyes, because out of the they can see their hearts from their eyes. Our hearts can do two things. They believe and they love. So it is speaking about understanding again. Both of these ideas are mentioned in Luke chapter 9, when Yeshua spoke and he said, "Moshe and Eliyahu, they appeared in glorious splendor and spoke of his exodus, which he was soon to accomplish in Jerusalem." Moshe saw the face of Yeshua that was shining like the sun and spoke with Yeshua about his death. Maybe he was ministering to him before his death. We don't know what was said, but they were speaking about his exodus, his death. When all of Yehovah's glory passed by Moshe in Exodus or Shemot 34, Moshe only saw Yehovah's back. But while he only saw what he could at that time, but Yehovah spoke to him, just as Yeshua spoke with him and Eliyahu there on the mountain. And this to me was a connection that shows us that what they saw and what was happening. What they saw represented the truths of what was spoken. And to me, Eliyahu, which we read today, as well as Moshe, both spoke with Yeshua. They both explained to him about his death. Moshe could not understand all of Yehovah, but he could see the full glory of Yehovah's face through Yeshua. And that Yah spoke to Moshe as the glory shone was therefore not fully understood by Moshe at the time, but the two elements of seeing and the word spoken go together. As a teacher, I fully understand that there are different ways people learn. Some can learn by reading something, and that is embedded in their mind. Some of us know that as a photographic memory. They can read it, they can instantly recall it, see it. They've got a photographic memory. Others learn by listening and have a full comprehension and understanding of what is being taught just by hearing. While others need to see and hear to fully understand, and before it is embedded in their brains, others may need to write it out as well. They see it, they hear it, and they write it, and then it's embedded. That's me. It is the writing or doing that is my learning aptitude. Whilst listening only, my comprehension is very poor. So I cannot picture what I'm being told. But if I see it, write it, I'm fine. Everyone is different, and that is why a good teacher will always provide different strategies for children for the one learning process that they are teaching. Moshe could not see the glory when he was in the cleft of the rock. That means he could not understand all what Yehovah said. He could only understand part of it. Yehovah said if Moshe did see all the glory, if he did see his face, then he would die. Looks would kill. But if looks or seeing represents understanding and truth, then full understanding of the truth of Yehovah causes us to die. Okay, do you want me to repeat that? If looks or seeing represents understanding the truth, then fully understanding the truth of Yehovah causes us to die. In other words, if Moshe truly understood what he heard, it would cause him to die. In Shemot, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, which we've said before, Yehovah passed before him and proclaimed Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yehovah is Elohim. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the words we use for Yehovah. He is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace and truth, showing grace to the thousandth generations, forgiving offences, crimes and sins, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effects of the parents' offences to be experienced by their children and grandchildren, even by the third and fourth generations. These truths actually cause you to die when you truly see them. This is what Yah's glory does. And a hint of how you die when you truly understand these words is found when Sheol said his glory, said this glory is in the face of Yeshua HaMashiach. The glory of full truth is in Yeshua. What is the truth? How is the full truth of what Yehovah told Moshe about forgiveness of sin and iniquity and about mercy being understood? How is it that we truly see the light of truth? Here is a hint. In Luke 9 and verse 31, it says, they appeared in glorious splendor and spoke of his exodus, which he was soon to accomplish in Jerusalem. What Moshe and Yeshua and Eliyahu spoke about, the truth involved was the decease that should occur at Jerusalem. His death, Yeshua's death, was the key to understanding the light or seeing the full truth of Shemot 34, 6 and 7. And I don't think that you want me to read those scriptures again. We've already read them three times. But once again, if we repeat them and repeat them, repeat them, we eventually get it in here. The reason Moshe could not see all the truth was because Moshe missed the full glory of it all. Moshe never saw the face when he heard the words. He never saw the full glory. he never understood the full meaning. The full glory were the things that would occur through Yeshua HaMashiach's death. And he would have received it when he was speaking with Yeshua and going through his death with him. Then he would have had that aha moment. Fact is that looks do kill. When you truly see the truth, you truly understand it, you will realize you died with Yeshua HaMashiach. And you have to die to self for us to look to kill, for looks to kill. His full and glorious version of long-suffering and mercy to forgive sin and transgression is accomplished only through the death of Yeshua HaMashiach on the stake. Most heard about forgiveness, but did not know the full way it would work. Moshe heard about mercy, but he never knew exactly how it would be fully shown. Yehovah even forgave people in the Tanakh and showed mercy to many, but never in its fullest sense. The fullest means of forgiveness and mercy is when Yeshua died for us. And the absolute fullness of this truth involves the fact that Yehovah does it by actually including us in that death. When you see the full mercy of Yehovah and his forgiveness, looks will kill. You will be happy to die to self. You will understand that you died with Yeshua. You actually died. The heathen in you died and is now dead. When the truth comes to you and you see and you realize, then you understand that you died with him. In Yochanan chapter 12, verses 20 to 21, it says, among those who went to worship at the festival were some Greek-speaking Jews. They approached Philip, the one from Bethsaida in the Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Yeshua. And in verses 24 and 25, Yeshua says, yes, indeed, I tell you, that unless a grain of wheat that falls to the ground dies, it just stays a grain, but it dies. It produces a big harvest. He who loves life loses it, but he who hates his life in this world will keep it safe right on into eternal life. In Yochanan 12:31-33, it says, now is the time for this world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be expelled. As for me, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. And Yeshua said this to indicate what kind of death he would die. Yeshua spoke about dying. He spoke about drawing all men to himself so they could say they died with him on that day. It also signified what death he should die. If he died on the stake, he would draw you to him as he died. That means you died with him. It means you were included in that death. When you see this, looks will kill. You realize that you have died. You learn the truth and cause you to understand you have died. Once you have complete understanding of this, then you could work at putting away all things in your life that are of the world and to be truly dead to the world. Even the place where Moshe was told to stand tells us a message of being dead in him. In Shemot Exodus 33:21-22, it says, here, he said, is a place near me, stand on the rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you inside a crevice in the rock. Listen to this. I will put you inside a crevice in the rock. Where is he putting Moshe? Not on the outside of the rock, he's putting him in the rock. Cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Who is our rock? Yeshua is our rock. A crevice or a cleft is a place of a rock where the rock has been struck and left a gash in that rock. We all know that Yeshua is the rock of salvation. So when Moshe stood in the crevice where the rock was struck, it shows a picture of the thought that we must put in our minds in the very place where Yeshua was stricken and slain. We all know the scripture that says in Yochanan Aleph or 1 John 4b, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And we've probably been taught greater is he that is in me than is in the world. But I want to go a little bit further. We've all learned that Yeshua lives in us. But I've said many times before, we must look at ourselves as though we died when Yeshua died. We just weren't onlookers. We died with him. We need to turn that around to get to the next level of our walk with him, to realize that we are put in Yeshua. As Moshe was put in the cleft of the rock. To do that, we need to put ourselves in the position when Yeshua died, to realize you were dead. So you can see yourself on that stake with him. I want you to picture it. Can you see yourself on the stake with him? Can you feel the nails in your hands and your feet? Can you taste the vinegar on the sponge? Can you let go of your life on this earth to sit at the right hand of Yehovah? When you can do that, you will see his glory from that standpoint and from that position, from the perspective of the crevice of the rock. Now, I know I've talked much about this here before, but let me go a little bit further. Once you are put in Yeshua HaMashiach by this revelation and this truth, you already know you're saved from sin. Now you must stand in Mashiach for more than your death to sin, but to the place of being put in him. In Romans 6 and verse 7, for it says, for someone who has died has been cleared from sin. When you are in Yeshua, who was without sin, you are in him, then you are without sin. You have to see yourself in that position. Since you needed to die to be freed from sin, and you understand that you're on Yeshua HaMashiach by faith when he died, so you could say you died. You understood that truth, or you'd seen that truth, that looks did kill. But now we must also understand that Yehovah, once he's put you in that place, wants you to be holy. How do you get holiness? The same way that you died to sin. As much as we can point to Yeshua's death to show people how we died to sin, we can point to Yeshua's holiness to show why we are holy. We can point to Yeshua's righteousness to show we are righteous. In Yirmiyahu chapter 23 and verse 6, it says, in his days Yehuda will be saved. Israel will live in safety. The name given to him will be Yehovah Zidkenu, or Yehovah our righteousness. In 33:16, when those days come, Yehuda will be saved, Yerushalayim will live in safety, and the name given to her will be Yehovah Zidkeni, Zidkenu, Yehovah, our righteousness. Yehovah doesn't say it once, he says it twice through the prophet Yirmiyahu. And he repeats himself to make sure that you get the message, that you are Yehovah, our righteousness, with once you live in Yeshua. When we read these words here, that actually foreshadow our salvation. Salvation is connected with the thought of Yehovah, our righteousness. You're not righteous because you made yourself righteous to do a lot of righteous things. You're righteous because Yeshua is your righteousness. You are in Yeshua HaMashiach, and he is your righteousness. Yeshua told us to abide in him and he would abide in us. Abiding in him is explained by Yeshua comparing it to a branch abiding in the vine. As a branch needs sap from the vine and therefore is in the vine or connected to it, we have no righteousness, we have no holiness, we have no goodness in ourselves. We can't cook it up either. Yeshua is our righteousness. We actually connect to him like a branch is connected to a vine. And all his fullness comes into us. Not only in union with him do we say we died when he died, but we have his holiness because we are in him. In Matityahu 6:33, it says, "First seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And if you're seeking his kingdom and you are in him, I want you to think, picture this. If you stand behind a blue-coloured glass, and when people look through the glass, you would appear blue to them, wouldn't you? People need to look at you and see the righteousness of Yehovah and Yeshua shining out of you. It's the same as if you were behind that blue glass, but they're seeing Yeshua, your holiness by Yeshua's holiness, your righteousness by Yeshua's righteousness, just oozing out of you. In Galatians 4 and verse 7, it says, "So through Yehovah you are no longer a slave but a son, and if you are a son, you are also an heir." That applies to women as well. Your daughters and sons are classed the same. In Colossians 3 and verse 3, it says, "If you have died and your life is hidden with Yeshua HaMashiach in Yehovah." And Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through him who gives me power." It is not your power. All I need to do is go to heaven and be with Yeshua HaMashiach. But I still have to live in this world. I still have to be amongst many people. But while we died to sin through Yeshua, we also need to be righteous. And that is also through Yeshua. We need to serve Yehovah faithfully. That is also done through Yeshua HaMashiach. Through him, we can do all the things that he asks us to do of him. We can do all the things that we need to do. And the rest of the scripture says, Yeshua gives us the power and the strength to do it. We don't have to do it in our own strength. It's Yeshua's strength that does it. You are not supposed to make yourself do good things. You are supposed to get a revelation and see such light and understanding and truth until you actually know you cannot do anything on your own that is worth any value, of any worth or value to Yehovah. You must attach yourself to Yeshua, who is your vine, to get strength from Yeshua to do all the things that you need to do. Yeshua is your sap. He's the nourishment. He's your strength to overcome anything in this world that we are going through, and especially now. We really need to be abiding in him now through what we're going through put on us by our governments. Not many people can understand that properly. Your part is to abide in him. You have to live out your existence in him. And you are not living your existence in him when you are trying your best. In him means that you depend on him to be able to do what is right. Most people simply think they have to do good as they naturally can with the natural power that they have within them. And that'll please Yehovah. But it won't. It'll never please Yehovah doing it in your own strength. He wants you to die to self. He wants you to let go of the old man that was within you and to be connected to him. To be in Yeshua. And while you're in Yeshua, he is in Yehovah, so you are connected to Yehovah, our Heavenly Father. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, all of us is like someone unclean, all our righteous deeds like menstrual rags. We wither, all of us, like leaves, and our misdeeds blow us away like the wind. Our best is filthy rags compared to Yeshua's shining white robe. But when we are in Yeshua, then we are in that shining white robe. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, my advice to you is to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white clothing so that you may be dressed and not be ashamed of your nakedness, and eye salve to rub on your eyes so that you may see. And in Revelation 19 verses 7 and 8, it says, let us rejoice and be glad. Let us give him the glory, for the time has come for the wedding of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. Fine linen, bright and clean, has been given to her to wear. Fine linen means the righteous deeds of Yehovah's people. Notice what was given to her. It wasn't her own. She didn't buy it. She didn't make it. It was given to her. It was her righteousness that was given to her. And this is what it means to be in Yeshua HaMashiach. When you're in Yeshua HaMashiach, your righteousness is given to you. But too many people do this. According to Shaul from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, Are you that stupid? Having begun with the Ruach's power, do you think you can reach the goal under your own power? We can't do it in our own strength. We never could. I certainly couldn't be standing here in my own strength. It's not my strength at all. None of us can come into a relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach unless the Ruach, or the Spirit, has touched our spirit or Ruach first. You just don't get saved. The Ruach has to say, yes, you've got to accept this. The Ruach prepares you ready for salvation. It is in this Ruach or Spirit where we begin. That means we know only reliance on Yehovah's Ruach that can save us, since we cannot save ourselves. But some mistakenly think they're supposed to do everything themselves, get frustrated and give up when they find they cannot do it in their own power. Shaul says these people made the same foolish blunder. We can only start in the Ruach by reliance on the Ruach, but we must continue the rest of our lives depending on the Ruach HaKodesh. This is the beginning in the Ruach and made perfect in the Ruach. In Mashiach, it is the same thing. When you really see Yeshua and understand that he drew you to himself when he died, understand also that then is when you are first made to abide in him. When you've died to self, then you start abiding in him. Once you start abiding in him, stay there. Don't move away. Rely upon him. Let him be the first one you speak to each morning. Let him be the one you speak to last thing each night. Rely on him and therefore abide in him for everything else that Yehovah requires of you. But Yah, first of all, requires your death to sin. And that happens by getting in Yeshua's death. Then Yehovah requires a holy life and you to work for him. And that also happens by being in Yeshua HaMashiach. So you abide in him by staying faithful to him and attached to him by always loving him and relying upon him to help you die to self daily. We have to make a point of dying to self daily. And this is why I said looks really do kill. because we have to die to self daily. We need to kill off the old self daily, as it will continue to raise its ugly head no matter how long you've been in Yeshua HaMashiach. HaSatan will always be working to trap you. I've been in him for 71 years and he still tries to trap me. I know it's a cliche, the thing, what will Yeshua do or what will Jesus do? I'm sure you've all done it. I taught my children as I was raising them, if you could not do or say something in front of Yeshua, then do not say or do it at all. Do not even think about it, because he even knows your thoughts. If you cannot take with Yeshua with you to a place that you want to go to, then do not go, because then you will always be safe. Children come under peer pressure, especially when they reach their teens, and other teens have different standards. Yeshua is the standard of which your children should always measure their thoughts, their words, and their actions. If they can learn from a young age to live daily in him, they will always have a blessed life. Does anyone have any questions? Nope. Okay, we will move on to the remembrance service.